Brenda was right. I am excited to meet with you guys and talk with you guys tonight. When Brenda asked me, I think it was November maybe, that Brenda asked me if I would speak to this group, and I knew right away that the answer was yes, and I also knew right away what I wanted to share with you. Because a few months before that, I realized that I had been waiting for a decade for my son to come back to Jesus. And he's not there yet. And when I sort of noticed that marker go by, I said, oh God, a decade. How am I doing with this waiting thing? You know? Because I have said to other people before that, when I've watched them wait for things that were important to them, I have said to them, don't miss what God has for you in the waiting. I know that where you are right now is hard, but don't miss what God has for you in the waiting. So I heard those words echoed back to me, and I felt like I needed to dig into this topic and say, how am I doing, God? What am I missing while I wait for this prayer to be answered? And so, when Brenda said, do you want to talk? I said, yep. And I know what I want to talk about because this kind of gives me an excuse, right? Now it's my job to dig into this topic and to kind of work through it. So one of the things I did is I started asking people who I watched wait. I saw them wait through things and come to the other side of their waiting. Many of you know Janelle and Jeff Hershoff, who walked through the horrors of Ava having a brain tumor and going through years of waiting, but holding on. I can remember praying with Janelle, and I can remember her holding on to that promise that God told her that Ava would be healed. And I remember all of it, and many of you do as well. And so I asked Janelle, tell me what you learned in the waiting. And she said, I don't think she's here tonight, but anyway, she said, I think I was just not that present. I can tell you some things I wished I'd learned. I said, okay, I'll take that. I'll take anything at this point. So I've been just kind of doing, like lifting up every rock I could find, looking for every book I could. There aren't a lot of books written on waiting. So I just, in case you've been looking, I do have a recommendation of a book, which I'll get to later. But I feel like, you know, as leaders, a lot of the questions of life, a lot of those big questions, we've already settled in our hearts. You know, we know that we belong to God. We hear his voice. We know that we have been called to something greater and bigger. We know that his word is true. But I tell you what, more times than not, it's in this waiting place that I see women, strong women, falter and struggle. I've seen them question everything. This is hard stuff, this waiting stuff. And then on the other hand, we read passages like the passage that I'm sure you're all familiar with, Isaiah 40:30. Those who wait on the Lord, they will renew their strength. They will rise up on eagle's wings. They will wait. They will run and not get tired, and they will walk and not become weary. Are you like me? I have memorized these things in so many different versions now that it is so hard. And then they change the versions. You know, the going versions change. And so then you have to adjust it. Anyway, you know the verse of which I speak, right? So we know how we're supposed to feel. We know what that verse says. That verse says that we're going to be able to run while we wait. We're not going to get tired. We're going to be able to just go for it. That we're going to have strength. And then we know what it feels like to wait. Right? Are you with me? And I'm not the only one that knows this feeling. Good. Otherwise, I don't know. I'd say, well, let's bring the worship band up again and worship a little more, because that was good stuff. So, you know, I just want to pray. I just want to pray for us all right now. And then we'll get into this, okay? Now, Papa, I know you have so much for us in the waiting. So even now, would you make every single heart in this place tender, open to everything you have for each and every one of us? Papa, don't let us begin to think we've got this one mastered. So Holy Spirit, we just want more and more and more of you. Amen. So I think this whole waiting thing is kind of a mystery. And I think God likes mysteries. Right? We look in Scripture, and Paul talks all the time about the mysteries of the gospel. Daniel talks about mysteries, the mysteries in life, that we have to go to God and we have to seek the answers from God. And I think that's what this is. All through Scripture, we see this whole idea of references to mysteries. And I don't know about you, but I love a good mystery. I have any other people in this room that are mystery lovers? A few of you, excellent. You'll understand my reference. I love discovering. I love, you know, the reading of the book and trying to figure out what's going on and discovering the little clues and being so proud of myself when I actually figure something out. And I think that as women, I think that we're especially good at certain mysteries in life. So this could just be my house. There's this mystery at my house. And it's, why would anyone leave a teaspoon of peanut butter in a jar and put it back in the pantry? And then another one. And another one. What's that about? We have the same sort of thing that happens with mayonnaise and yogurt. They take a bit out and they put it back, and then they can't see it. I don't know. Need to get another one. Open that one before you know it. Yeah. And here's the thing. Like, my daughter, Anna, who I live with my husband, for those of you who don't know, and a 29-year-old son, and my daughter, Anna. And Anna and I, we marvel at this. But the guys, nothing. Don't care. Don't notice. And look at you like you're crazy if you even think it's a big deal at all that there are four open jars of peanut butter with hardly anything left in them. So I do think that this whole idea of waiting is a bit like that. It's a bit like this mystery. But I think it's like a good Agatha Christie mystery. Now, Agatha Christie fans, hopefully, a few of you, excellent. So here's what I absolutely adore about Agatha Christie. She gives you everything you need to solve the mystery right alongside Miss Marple or Poirot, right? It's there. You just have to be astute enough to figure it out. You need to go backwards. You just need to figure it out. But it's possible. Unlike some other mysteries, Sherlock Holmes, for example, where it doesn't matter who you are. You'd need like a degree in archaeology to know the answer at the end, right? So I think God is a lot more like Agatha Christie. And I think that this is solvable. I think we can do this. I don't think he puts out there mysteries that are unsolvable. So, all right. I got started looking up Scripture, because where do you go when you're looking for the answers? You go to God's Word, right? So I began to search for clues in God's Word. I've already mentioned Isaiah 40:30, which is, again, is one of those popular ones that we probably all think of. But there's tons of verses in the Scriptures about waiting. I have come across at least 40 of them, and I'm sure that there are many, many more of those. And I'm just going to highlight a few of them here, and I'm not going to go into any depth whatsoever right here. Just going to, this is like a little scratch on the surface, and we'll you'll see where I'm going. So the first one is Hosea 12:6. Therefore, return to your God, observe kindness and justice, and wait for your God continually. So we need to be kind and just. And this waiting thing seems like it's going to go on for a while. Psalm 37:7-9. Be still before the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways. So we need to be still. We need to be patient. So I don't know about you, but those are two hard things already for me. And then this is important, I think. We need to not get stressed out when we see other people realizing our dreams. We're going to talk a little more about that. That's really, really hard. All right. Psalm 31:24. Be strong and let your heart take courage, all ye who wait upon the Lord. So we're going to be strong. And we're going to have courage if we wait on the Lord. Those are good things. I like that. I like that one. Psalm 62:5. God the one and only. I'll wait as long as he says. Ooh, okay. Everything I hope comes from him. Yeah. There's that. All right. So I'm confident again that the mystery can be solved. So how do we keep waiting? How do we wait a decade? 2 decades? 3 decades? How do we wait when it seems like none of your dreams that you have dreamed and held so deep are ever going to come true? How do we wait when the dreams that we hold, we watch other people get, seemingly all around us? How do we wait when God says it's cancer? How do we wait when God says, or when the doctors say, there's nothing more we can do? This is really hard stuff. But there's a real danger in missing what God has for us, especially when we're waiting on our deepest heart's desires. So here's the thing. God rarely does things according to our time frame. And because of this, we will spend a lot of time on this earth waiting. Whoops. While we wait, it's easy to get discouraged. Every single one of us struggles with this. And just because we're leaders, it doesn't mean that we won't struggle in the waiting. But God is very, very wise. And what God knows is when our hearts are exposed, when those things that we hold so dear, we have to hold out in our quivering hands to him and say, God, what about this? Again and again and again and again. He knows that that's when we're ready to go deep and he can draw us in. So I'm confident of this, that as we wait, especially again for those deepest things, that God invites us in to a deeper intimacy and deeper dependency on him. And I bet you're just like me. And there is nothing that I don't want more than that. I want that deep, deep, deep abiding trust, that deep, deep intimacy with Jesus. So I'm going to start with a few practical things. It's always good to start with practical things, right? It makes us feel secure. And then I'll go into the more nebulous things. So first of all, I think it is really important to to be completely honest with God while we're waiting. He never asks us to pretend. He never asks us to say to him whatever it is we think we're supposed to say to him. The book of Psalms is filled with examples of people who pour out their hearts to God, and oftentimes, not times, it's not very polite. Right? Listen to what David says to God in Psalm 22. "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? So far from my cries of anguish, my God, I cry out by day, but you don't answer me. By night, but I find no rest." God invites us to wait and be completely and totally honest with him, to tell him how frustrated, how angry, how sad, how scared, how bitter, how whatever it is we are. He wants us to be that real with him all of the time. So, some of you, I know, this is easier for than others. Some of you are very in touch with your feelings. You know how you feel about everything. And it's not hard for you to tell God and probably anybody else how you feel about whatever it is you feel deeply about, right? And then there are some of the rest of us. So I grew up being that person who was told by my mother, always make the best of things. It doesn't do any good to complain. Don't complain. Always do the best. You know, always make the best of things. And I'm that person. I'm about as steady as you get. Not a lot of up and down with me. I can make the best of things. And there's a lot of great things about being that person. But one thing that's not so great about being that person is that not only was I not great at telling God what I thought about things, I didn't even know myself. I didn't even know how I really felt, because I just, you know, stood back up again and kept marching. I was just that good soldier. I just kept going. So I'd say about 5 years in to the decade of waiting for my son to come back to Jesus, God sort of was talking to me about this whole deal, about how I felt and how I should let him know how I feel. And so I, with great fear and trepidation, went to those deep feeling places in myself and said, okay, here I am. And what I realized was I was really, really hurt by God. And once I got myself to the place where I could kind of be okay with that and talk to him about that, I sounded for about a year a lot like David. I said on a regular basis to God, where were you? We prayed for this boy when he was in my womb. Day in and day out, we prayed for this child. We asked you to protect him. Asked you specifically to protect him physically, protect him emotionally. Did I say spiritually, emotionally, and physically? Those three ways. We asked. And when he got hurt again and again, where were you? Why didn't you stop it? And now this boy of mine, the one that I believed and my husband believed would be the pastor, would be the one called of God. We saw that call on his life when he was a little boy. And we sat on either side of him on that sofa when one of his friends committed suicide, and he said, I cannot believe in a God that wouldn't stop this from happening? Where were you? Why didn't you stop it? And what I found was when I was finally able to talk to God like that and let him all the way in and figure out what was going on, you know, he came into that spot. He came into that hurt and that pain, and it still hurts, and it's still hard. But it's not the same as it was when I was sort of pretending like it wasn't that bad. Because he's met me there. He's met me in that place. So as I've been honest with God and my emotions, he's been there to help me. So this might not be your first step, but it was my first step. And that was I had to be willing to be honest with God and honest with myself about how bad it hurt. So secondly, I need a drink of water. All right, so secondly, be sure that you don't stop asking God for what it is that you need. Don't stop asking him. Don't stop getting prayer. Don't stop asking people to pray for you. Wherever I am, if anyone ever says to me, what can I pray for you about? I say, pray for my son. Always. I have people all over the world who pray for my son. And all of you, pray for my son and tell me about yours and I'll pray for yours too. So I have to say that there was a period of time somewhere in there, I don't remember what year it was, but somewhere in there where I thought, okay, Jesus, like I've poured out my heart to you. You know how I feel about this. I'm tired of asking you about this. And I think that sometimes it's okay to take a break. I think that's all right. But big picture, let's not stop. And we have an example of not stopping. And that's a parable that Jesus teaches us about. It's the persistent widow parable. It's in Luke 18, 1 through 7. I'm going to read it to you. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. But there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with a plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time, he refused. But finally, he said to himself, even though I do not fear God or care what people think, yet because this woman keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? God gives us permission to keep on asking. And I hope that in the next decade, I won't have to keep asking about this prayer. But if I do, he can be sure I'm not ever going to stop asking. Because he said we could, and even said it was a good thing. But there's this tricky thing about asking and continuing to ask about something that is yet to come. And the difficulty can be at times really, truly living in the present moment. Do you know what I mean by this? That, yeah, sometimes when you're waiting for your dreams to come true, it can be very difficult to stay very present and listen to what God has for you today. And I think especially sometimes when we're waiting for things like we've waited and waited to be married. We want so badly to be married and to have a husband. And it can be very difficult to not just go to that place, that dream place, and think about what that will be like. Or we want a child so badly, right? It can be really hard to stay present, keep asking, and see, what God are you preparing me for today that you have for me in the future? Because you know God, he never wastes anything. He is always preparing us for something. So you're waiting to be a wife. How can you be prepared now? How can you learn to be a really great wife? You're waiting to be a mother. How can you learn to be a really great mother? You're waiting to be a church planter. How can you learn to be a really great church planter? Whatever it is, it doesn't matter what it is. What does God have for us today when we want so badly whatever it is that we're waiting for? And I find I need these little tests in my life. They're like, checking the oil in the car and making sure that it's okay, you have enough, you're not going to ruin your engine. And this is my test for this one. If I can't be genuinely happy and bless someone when my dream comes true in their life, that should be a check mark and should drop me to my knees to say, God, what's up? What's going on? So just explain that just a little bit more. The wedding one is a great example. You're wanting to be married. You have waited a long time. You are saving yourself for marriage. You know, you're doing all the right things. And it just seems like girlfriend after girlfriend after girlfriend is getting married. Can you go to that wedding and say, God bless you. I am so happy for what God has brought to you. Or do you feel like when you open the wedding invitation that you want to barf and you don't ever want to go to another wedding again until it's your wedding? And I get this, and it makes sense, and I'm not judging anyone because we all live in these places. And this is hard. It happens to me. I see a Christian family, and they have four adult children, and all of their children are following Jesus, and they love him, and they're ministering, and they're doing all these things, and I sometimes I usually don't say it, but if I'm honest, in my heart, there's that thing. Why couldn't that be me? When's it going to be my turn? When's it going to be my turn? When is my dream going to come true? And when we feel like that, we got to go to our knees. We got to go to Jesus. We got to say, I need more of you because too much of Casey's coming out right now. I need more of you. That's how we know how we're doing. All right, so the last one and the big one. If we're going to do this waiting thing well, we have to trust that God has a purpose for delaying what it is that we're waiting for. I love this quote from Bob Goff. Sometimes God lets us lose hope for a moment, so we'll retrace our steps and find him all over again. So sometimes we do just that. We lose hope. But I think that the key is this idea of really, truly trusting God. And that's what we can go back to, trusting God. And in fact, one of the reasons it's a little bit hard to wrap your head around or know exactly how many verses there are in the Bible that talk about waiting, because you can do one of those word searches, right, on your computer, and it tells you how many there are. Well, of course, depending upon the version that you're looking at, you get all sorts of answers. Well, one of the things that happens is the word trust and the word wait are often used interchangeably. That's a clue. That's a great big clue. That's kind of like dagger in the body clue. Really big clue. So the trust thing, it's a big deal, right? So if you've ever been with me to Mazatlan, I take annual trips to Mazatlan and bring teams down there, you will have heard me say, the thing is not the thing. That is this common phrase that got coined a number of years ago. I think Joe Harding coined the phrase. But here's kind of what I mean by that when I say it. That when you're on a missions trip, what's happening to you is all of your life kind of out here is a bit out of your control and a bit out of your comfort zone. Oftentimes, there's a language being spoken that you don't speak. Your whole normal routine is disrupted, right? You're in this place, and the culture, you're not quite sure what's okay to say, what's okay to do. You know, so there's all this ambiguity in your life, right? When you're on a mission, it's part of the fun of a missions trip. It's part of what makes, why God wants us to do it, because it tips us over a little bit. So one of the things that I find team members looking for is a concrete task to do, right? So then there often are those, for example, paint a wall. Let's go paint this wall. Well, when they get to a certain point in the trip, they are so ready for a concrete task that, man, they will paint that wall like nobody's business, because they are so focused on something they can finally do and do well that they are just going to paint that wall again and again and make it really perfect. And when they get to that place, what I say to them is, remember, the thing, it's not the thing. So the thing, painting the wall, it's not really the thing. It's not really what we're here for. It's just to get that wall painted. So what I've learned in waiting for my son, Timothy, is that this thing, waiting for my son to come back to Jesus and walk the life that I know that God has for him, isn't really the thing. And that in no way devalues the importance of my son, Timothy, walking with Jesus, because it remains a big deal, not only to me, but to God. It's a big deal to both of us. But what I've found is when I enter into this place of really trusting Jesus for the thing that Timothy walks with God, that I get drawn in so deep to him, and I can get to this place, just scratch the surface of this place, of trusting him fully and completely with the thing. And what I realize is, oh my God, I went to this amazing deep place of trusting Jesus, and that place becomes the thing. Does that make sense? So in my search for answers about waiting for God, I came across this book that is like a little treasure book. It's called Waiting on God. It's by Andrew Murray. This afternoon, I looked in our bookstore, asked Charlie to order them for us, and there were 4 copies. Now, I think more copies are probably coming maybe tomorrow, but it's just a gem of a book. It was written in the 1800s. It's meant to be a 31-day devotional on waiting on God, but you can spend 5 days on one day, because it's so deep and so rich. So listen while I read to you a part of that, just a paragraph here. And this speaks to that whole idea of the thing not being the thing. At our first entry into the school of waiting upon God, the heart is mainly set on the blessings which we wait for. God graciously uses our needs and desires for help to educate us for something higher than we are thinking of. We were seeking gifts, He, the giver, longs to give himself and to satisfy the soul with his goodness. It is just for this reason that he often withholds the gifts and that the time of waiting is made so long. He is constantly seeking to win the heart of his child for himself. Doesn't that sound like what the depths of your soul longs for? And even makes waiting for those painful, difficult things worth waiting for? Yeah. I'm just going to read a little bit more from Andrew Murray. So I could have just come up here and read out of the book, and it would have been amazing. So, a little bit more, because it's so good. The Lord is good unto them who wait for him. What a blessed life the life of waiting then becomes. The continual worship of faith, adoring and trusting. His goodness. As the soul learns its secret, every act or exercise of waiting becomes just a quiet entry into the goodness of God. To let it do its blessed work and satisfy our every need. And every experience of God's goodness gives new attractiveness to the work of waiting. Instead of only taking refuge in a time of need, there comes a great longing to wait continually and all day. And however duties and engagements occupy the time and the mind, the soul gets more and more familiar with the secret art of always waiting. Waiting becomes the habit and disposition, the very second nature and the breath of the soul. Isn't that what we want? For God to be the very breath of our soul. And what I've learned is that I can just see a little glimpse of that. And I want more and more and more of it. So when I can trust him and I can trust his timetable, that's when we can get to this place of waiting becoming and waiting for God, because it's God that we meet in that place, becoming the very breath of my soul. So the key is trusting God completely and fully. But again, the waiting isn't about whatever it is we're waiting for, even though that's still very, very important. It becomes about waiting for God. So one thing I know about waiting for God is what we learn from the psalmist in Psalm 46:10. It says, "Be still and know that I am God." So around here, and I think around the region, and I think actually since Phil Strout took over, we have been talking a lot about this whole idea of spiritual formation, finding margin in our lives. And being able to learn how to be still and how to know that God is God. And I would say to you that if you have not had the opportunity to go on a silent retreat, to get really away and be still with God, do it. You won't be sorry. We live in a society where we are not still very well at all. And we have to practice it. So this whole idea of being still, this whole idea of wanting and getting God more than whatever it is that we think we want, it becomes much more about being instead of doing. You've heard this, right? That we're human beings, we're not human doers. But we I will speak for myself. I am a doer. Dang. If you want to get something done, ask me. Because I can get it done. I am a doer. But this being stuff, it doesn't come natural to me. I had to work really hard at it. So this being still, that it's translated there, means cease from striving. Yeah. So it isn't just sitting still, which God knows I can't do either. But it's the idea of not striving. Do you feel like, I think as women especially, do you just always feel like you're striving? There's always something more. There's always one more load of laundry, right? There's always one more thing to get done that needs to be done. Doesn't this sound really good to stop striving and to just be still? Yeah. So we're going to practice that, actually. We're going to have a traditional ministry time, but before we do that, I want us to practice this whole being still thing and not striving. So I want you to close your eyes. I want you to take a couple of deep breaths. And the first thing I want you to do, because whenever I get still, the first thing that pops out is my to-do list. I want you to take that to-do list, and I want you to open a drawer, and I want you to put it in there. Okay? It's not what we're doing right now. And then I want you to take your God to-do list, because that's the second thing. And sometimes it's hard to know how to connect with God without asking him to do anything. So this is about us being and letting God be. So Father, come. We are your daughters. And we just want to be with you. Papa, thank you. Thank you that you, the God of the universe, the very God who set each star in its place, the very God that created the mountains and the rivers and the plains, the God that was before time, that you, that God, right now as we sit in this room, you know the deepest desires in our heart. And you want to be with us even more than we want to be with you. That's a crazy thing. Papa, thank you. Thank you. So I know it's hard to kind of break out of that, and if that felt good, imagine going away by yourself and getting to do that. And if that felt scary, that's okay. So I'd like you to stand with me now. So Father, I know that right now there are some hearts in this auditorium that are hurting. And even when we begin to talk about things that are deep down in their heart, It scares them right at the start. And they're afraid that their day is never going to come. That whatever it is that they want so bad, they want to believe it, but they're afraid to believe it because they're afraid that their hopes are going to get dashed again. So if I just described your heart, I want you to come up here. Because God has Himself to give you. And it would not be wise to miss that. So I know also that some of you are like me. I saw your heads nod when I talked about my boy that isn't walking the life that you have for him. And your hearts, they hurt right along mine. You can't think like I can't think of a deeper possible hurt than to have these children that we prayed over, that we did everything we could do to show your love to. And somehow, they've walked away. So if that is your heart, man, I want to pray for you tonight. I want to pray with you. So if you have that hurt, please come and get prayer. So there are other people here who are hurting physically. And you have been asking God to take away this chronic pain, physical pain that you suffer with day in and day out, and it impacts your daily life. And you're just about to give up hope, or maybe you've already given up hope. You feel like maybe this is just my cross to bear. And I should stop talking to God about it. So if you have something physical, and there are a couple of specific things that I feel like God said about those physical pieces, and one of those is chronic head, neck, shoulder pain, you know, right in that area, and particularly on the right side of your body. And then also an open sore, some sort of open sore, a wound that won't heal. So if you have anything like that, any physical thing that you've waited for, and I feel like there are people in this room, leaders in this room, who have had prophetic words spoken over them, they have had dreams placed in their heart by God, but yet just can't even see it beginning to come true. Can't even see God's hand at all. So if that's you, come forward. I think God's got something in that. And I feel like there's some people here too that in that you feel like God has told you that you're going to be a pastor, you're going to be a church planter. But again, it just doesn't make sense. You look at your life right now and you know, maybe debt. I feel like for some of you, there's financial debt that seems to be in the way, and how could I ever because of this? And I think God has stuff for you tonight too. I just have a couple more that I feel like God was saying. That there's some people who feel like they've had words spoken over them, but they feel like they've been disqualified. So maybe there's something in your past or something. And for some reason you feel like those are there, but yeah, it's just never going to happen to me. It's never going to happen for me. Thank God it has something for you in that tonight as well. And one more thing, I feel like there's someone who you have this longing, like you're waiting for something, but you can't even articulate what it is. It's like there's something clearly missing. You feel like you've waited a long time for like the other piece. And it's just not there yet. So it's hard for me to believe that there's anyone in this room that's not waiting for God to answer prayer.
Yeah, there's a few other things that I felt like the Lord specifically highlighted. Women who are waiting for a husband.
Mm-hmm.
Women who are waiting for a child.
Mm-hmm.
And women who are waiting for their husband to follow Jesus. So even maybe their marriage could be whole.
Yeah.
Those are all specific things that the Lord highlighted. So if any of those things kind of touch a nerve or you're like, yep, that's my story, would you just join us up front here?
Yeah.
As well. And we're going to invite our gals that pray. Well, all of you pray probably because you're all leaders in different Vineyard churches. So if you're not here to receive prayer and you wouldn't mind coming and praying, the only thing that we ask is just that when you pray, be really sensitive to only pray what the Holy Spirit's saying and just let the Lord come and don't fill up all of the space with words or your words. Just let His words come and just be sensitive in the different ways that we're praying for each other. And we'll just pray for everyone. So if nobody comes right away, just stay engaged with the Father and let Him minister to you. And we'll be sure and make sure that we pray with each person who is just wanting to receive tonight before we go. So why don't some more of you come on up if you would and just make your way up to somebody. The Lord will lead you right to someone and just ask them how you can pray for them. What are they responding to? What is Jesus doing? You can spread out across the sides if there's more room as well. Father, we just bless your Spirit here. Thank you for the invitation to come to you. We invite your presence even more right now. Just fall on us. We don't want to leave untouched. We don't want to leave without receiving you. We don't want to miss a single drop of your presence or your Spirit or your healing, your touch. And we just acknowledge our need. We acknowledge our desperate, desperate need right now for more of you. So come even closer to us, Father. We trust you. And we love you.